Hey, it's me. I'm back. Where have I been? Everywhere but nowhere. And I haven't been recording, which was one of my goals for this year, was to make sure that I stayed up on the podcasting, even though it makes me terribly uncomfortable to be talking to myself. I do enjoy podcasting enough that I want to try to push myself forward. So, thank you for all of the wonderful messages that I got from people who enjoyed, or I don't know, felt something resonate with them from the test show that I did a couple months back. So, where am I at mentally right now? Well, still going to therapy, although sometimes I have moments during therapy when I'm like, why am I here? I don't know if that happens to anyone else who's going through therapy, but sometimes I am like, this is not the transformation, right? The progression of therapy is not happening as fast as I would like it to happen, or as fast as I guess my expectation would have me believe it should be happening. And so I something else that I'm working on, which is trying to release expectations, right? Because where do expectations really lead us but to disappointment? So I was having a couple of rough weeks where it was like I just go to therapy and I'm kind of sitting there and I could feel myself having this kind of imaginary wall up where I'm kind of at a standstill, not only with my therapist, but kind of with myself, because I'm saying to myself, like, on one hand, I've been doing this now for a good 6 months consistently, and I still feel myself being upset about and feeling feelings about things that I feel like I should be past. And I kind of get frustrated with myself because I'm like, why are these issues or why are these situations or these experiences still affecting me? I've gone back deep enough that the quote unquote traumas and the childhood traumas and getting to the root of a lot of the issues that a lot of us carry with us. I've dug deep enough where I understand where all of those things originate from, and I've even gathered enough tools. These are all the keywords that you hear from therapy and from people in therapy, but I've gathered enough tools and enough information about myself to know what my triggers are, to know what my normal or what my old reactionary behaviors were that I use, the behaviors that you use to somehow compensate and to be able to cope with your anxieties or your fears or your angers. You look back sometimes on past behaviors and you're like, damn, I was reacting this way, but I was reacting out of anger, but I was really feeling pain. You know how you have those kind of self-realizations through therapy? Well, I've had all of those experiences, and yet I'm still triggered by the same shit. And it's frustrating because I want to be, I want to be able to come out and be like, yo, I'm all zen now. Like, problem solved. Like, I know how to handle everything. And now, here's the fantastic result of being able to learn all of these secrets of how to cope with this or how to get over that and how to become a better person. But the process sometimes is not always a forward-moving process. It's always a moving process. Pardon me. It's always a moving process, but sometimes you do have to go backwards a little bit in order to go forwards. And the toughest part about it is that when it starts to feel thick, you really have to keep pushing. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't resign yourself to be like, you know what? Well, like that's the key part. And for people like me, I consider myself a master procrastinator, right? So when things get tough, I have a tendency to look for shortcuts, and I have a tendency to, like, not quit, but cut back a lot. I'll even change what my original goal might have been, and sometimes pretend that my goal wasn't what my original goal was if it means that I don't have to work as hard as I initially thought I was going to have to work, or as hard as it's looking like my actual target is going to force me to work, if that makes sense. So you can't cheat yourself, right? And you can't shortcut yourself out of doing the work. That's the biggest lesson that I have taken from just from going through therapy. I have moments when I'm like, that was a waste of an hour. And then I have moments when I walk out of my therapy session and I'm like, fuck, like that was amazing. I didn't expect for us to end there, or for me to, you know, stumble on those discoveries that you sometimes get to make when you are revisiting traumatic things about your yourself, about your past life, about your current situation. One of the recurring themes for me in therapy is my habit of really just silencing myself. And so what I'm realizing even right now in this moment of recording this is that I'm so resigned now to, like, some, you know, that old moniker of, like, it's better left unsaid, or some things are better left unsaid, or you don't want to be the one to rock the boat, or you don't want to be the one to call out the bullshit that you see going on, because you don't want to kind of, like, not be liked if you are that person who's constantly pointing out some bullshit. Well, I had gotten into a place where I felt like, not that people didn't like me, but that I wasn't likable. Just pardon that beeping noise. Yeah, that I wasn't likable because I was going to be the one that was going to fucking tell you some shit you probably didn't want to hear. And so many people are not interested in or not ready to be held accountable. And in the climate in today's world where everybody wants positive vibes only, sometimes, you know, being the person who calls it like they see it and doesn't necessarily put a happy, positive spin on it will make you kind of the outcast. And I didn't want to be the outcast, right? I didn't want to have to kind of set out on my own or be the one who says to people like, hey, you might want to think about a plan B. Because when you say that to people, even when you say that to people from a caring and loving place of like, I just want to make sure that you're safe and you have a safety net, a lot of people look at that as like, you don't believe in me, or you wishing for the worst to happen, or you are, you're scared. And while it does come from a kind of a place of like fear, which I agree 100%, it also comes from a place of being like, I want to be prepared for every possible scenario, even the worst case scenario. And so I know a lot of people's thought process is like, I don't want to think about the worst case scenario. I'm going to move through life like nothing bad is ever going to happen to me. And that's cool and all, but I don't subscribe to that because I consider myself a realist. I don't necessarily consider myself a pessimist, although others may think I am. I consider myself a realist. So sometimes it's hard to be the realist in a room of dreamers. You understand? I know sometimes it's hard to be the realist in a room of creatives or people who, you know, they don't anticipate the risk. And if you are a person who's anticipating the risk, sometimes that might offend other people. And so I was, I was afraid to be offensive. Even though there have been many times when in being offensive, I found that I was right. Right? But, you know, whatever. Sometimes you gotta let motherfuckers jump out the window with no net and no parachute and no fucking plan B. And you just gotta mind your business. And if they fly, they fly. And if they hit the ground, you gotta be like, oh, damn, who knew that you were gonna hit the ground? Bitch, I knew you were gonna hit the ground. Because I thought of all possible case scenarios for this. And clearly, you didn't plan this out as effectively as you could. But again, I look at it as coming from a place of caring. Other people may look at it as coming from a place of fear. But it's there's room for everybody, you know. So just in therapy and finding that, like, my voice matters, even the voice of the opinion that may be unpopular. If I have something to say, I have to believe in myself and believe in my message enough that I honor myself enough to say it. And I cannot care about what people think about what I'm saying. It's going to register with some people. Some people it's not going to register with. I got to be okay with that. And that has been, or is becoming, a major, like, exercise for me in really just being okay with not everybody liking me or liking what I have to say or what I represent. And yeah, so I'm here doing, I guess, what essentially would be like episode 2, right? Speaking and using my voice and saying the things that I feel like need to be said, whether I'm speaking personally from experience or just for myself, or whether what I'm saying is relative and resonates with other people. So I left work early for no reason, apparently. I thought I had an emergency and I left work, and the emergency was solved without me. So I'm home alone on a Tuesday, and that's fine. All my single mothers know that it's a nice break to not have to run home and cook dinner, or do homework, or supervise people when you leave work and have to be at work at home. You guys know what I'm talking about. So I said, why not make another attempt to have that honest conversation that I have really been wanting to have for, like, I don't know. I always want to have it and don't really have someone to kind of talk to about it. The fun of podcasting for me has always been self-expression, right? And talking about things that are topical and relevant to what's going on in the world. And I've tried it several times in several different spaces. I've been on other people's shows, and, you know, it's fun sometimes to do the gossip conversation kind of talk and, you know, talk about current events and celebrities and things that are in the news. But I also feel like sometimes it's just a conversation that you want to have with another person. And it's not necessarily about the hottest rapper in the game or who wore what or who's fucking who. Like, you know, you want to be able to just have a conversation about nothing, but that nothing means something. Yeah, so what else can I talk about with you guys? What's on my mind lately? This is all off the top of my head, by the way. I don't have any topics to talk about. Oh, I know what I could talk to you guys about. I'm going to mention it here too, even though, again, I'm not being paid, but I mentioned it on my Facebook page and I mentioned it on my Instagram page, and I got a lot of feedback from you ladies, because a lot of you messaged me and told me that you ordered it. There is a pleasure toy, ladies, you know what I mean, a vibrator that I saw reviews for on Facebook. Someone posted about it. And they put a link to it. And in the link from Amazon, you could read other people's reviews of the product. And the reviews were, like, outrageous. The women were like, this is a life changing. I've never had an orgasm like this in my life. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. So of course I'm very curious. I go and I order it. And I shared it on my Facebook page and I shared it on my IG page with people. And, yeah, so I love it. And, I think I shared that on my IG page. And a few of you actually, I would say maybe like 8 to 10 of you ladies, shout out to y'all, reached out to me and was like, yo, I'm going to order it just off the strength of me saying that I like it. And, I haven't heard back from anybody. Well, I heard back from 2 people that they actually liked it. But what are the rest of y'all waiting for? Like, it's called Tracy's Dog. If you go to tracysdog.com, T-R-A-C-Y-S dog, D-O-G.com. And you can order it. And it's kind of like a, that's weird to describe it. But it's a, basically it's like a 2-headed vibrator. And so one portion of the vibrator goes inside if you are a person who likes to insert things. I personally am not a person who likes to insert things, but for the purposes of course, being your crash test dummy, I said, let me, you know, maximize the execution of this product in order to give you guys a review that was honest and truthful. I had to do what I had to do, and I took one for the team, literally. And I used it according to the directions because it does have a little pamphlet that it comes with that shows you how to use it. And so one end is for insertion and the other end is supposed to mimic like the actual feeling of someone sucking on your clitoris. And here's what I'll say about it, right? If you close your eyes, if you relax your body, here's what you do. You come home from a hard day's work like I just did. You take a nice hot shower. You relax your mind like I just did. And you pull out your Tracy's Dog, take it out the box. It comes in a nice little discreet black box. And you turn it on. And well, first of all, you have to insert it. And okay, so here's the thing, right? I haven't had sex in over a year. Okay, don't gasp. I have not had sexual intercourse with another human being in over a year. So it was a little bit difficult for me to insert this product. And it took a lot of working it in, if you know what I mean. And you have to be very relaxed. And I would say really for any sexual experience, you should be relaxed. You should never like be anxious and fucking, I don't know. Anxiety and sex should not go into the same situation ever in your life. If you're feeling anxious about sex, that don't do it. That's my personal advice. But you relax your body, relax everything, especially down there. If you need a little bit of lube, use your lube. You have a little elbow grease. If you want to use spit, do whatever you got to do. Insert the product and try to get it in so that it's exactly inside and the little suction part on the other end is directly on your clitoris. And then you turn on the, you know, I say start with the outside head. And again, there are like 10 different speeds. So start off light, find your groove, find your speed. And again, if you are relaxing and just breathing through it, really kind of like meditating on in that moment, be one with your body and breathe your way through it and feel the little vibrations on your clitoris. And then, hey, maybe dial it up a notch. And if that feels good, dial it up another notch. Dial it up to a point where you can almost, as your eyes are closed, you can almost feel like someone is sucking on your clitoris, right? You found that speed. And for me, I'd say it was probably about speed 3, speed 4. I didn't have to go too far to find the right speed. It's because it's been a while for me, you understand? So then what you do as you start to feel like, oh, this kind of, because you remember your eyes are closed, you squint in your eyes, kind of, this kind of feels like somebody is sucking on my clitoris. Okay. Oh, you get into it a little bit and you get into it a little bit more. And then you turn on the second head. And the second head, if you've inserted it properly and it's matched up to your, you know, your bells and whistles down there, the second head vibration should kind of be diddling with your G-spot area. Now, everybody's body is not the same. Everybody's vagina is not. Some people are low cervixes. Some people have high cervixes. Yeah. I don't know. But this is a great way for us as women to find and discover what we really like and what we really need, right? Especially if you're someone like me who's not having sex right now. So with the second head and the new G-spots, you know, stimulation that you're feeling, it's a different orgasm. Because I can honestly say in my lifetime that I don't remember having a lot of sexual experiences where the men were proficient in finding my G-spot. Maybe they find yours. I'm not a insert type of person. As I said, I really only prefer to have dicks inside of me. I don't like fingers inside of me. I don't like, who knows where your dirty hand, you know what I mean? Y'all know what I mean. So if you down there, I just rather your penis get in there. And honestly, some guys' penises, they ain't gonna get to the G-spot. They're gonna get in the vagina if you're lucky. They might be able to hit that, like, bottom. If you know, when you're on your back and a guy's kind of a little bit longer than average, he might be able to hit the bottom of the pussy, but he's not, a lot of guys are not curving up to get to the G-spot. We're getting graphic, but you understand what I'm saying. So I guarantee that even if you are a very, you know, easily pleasured, lucky person, this vibrator is going to give you a new dimension of sexual enjoyment and entertainment. And like I said, if you're someone like me who is at a standstill currently with traffic down there, the road is closed. So it's a great way to give yourself erotic pleasure and not have to deal with a lot of the things that come with having to try to deal with men. So that's my full review. And that's why I think, if you understand what I'm saying to you, that's why I recommend it so highly. Because honestly, let's talk about it. Right? I don't know about you. I don't know if you're in a relationship. I don't know if you are single and dating, or just single and thinking about getting a pet like me, because that's where I'm at now. I'm thinking about getting a pet. Like a cat or a dog, that level, that's the level of aloneness I'm at. But for me right now, like, I'm putting this nicely, I don't know, the men that I see out here are like, they leave a lot to be desired. And I think really through therapy have learned how much I have been settling before. Like, I think I've been settling my entire life when it came to guys. Either the guy wasn't, you know, he really wasn't as attractive as I would like him to be, or he wasn't as intelligent as I would like him to be, or he didn't have, you know, goals in life, or he didn't treat me as nicely as I would have liked him to treat me. You know what I mean? Like, we all kind of settled for something that we really didn't want. And I think for me, it came from that mindset of like, be a nice girl, be nice to these guys, you know, go easy on them, don't bruise their egos, give a nice guy a chance. And what no one really ever tells you, and what I will be definitely telling my daughter, is it doesn't matter how nice anyone is to you, and especially in regards to with men, it doesn't matter how nice of a guy he is, if you're not attracted to him, if he doesn't, you know, do it for you, that's okay. You don't necessarily have to, you know, date the guy that you're not really attracted to, that, you know, your friends think is nice or your mom thinks is nice, you have to actually find some kind of compatibility with that person. And only you know what that is. I think that I have dated guys that I really felt like I don't want to be a bitch, or I don't want to hurt his feelings and tell him I'm not interested in going out on a date with him. So I let him take me out on a date. And then you let him take you out on another date. And then you let him take you out on the third date. And now he likes you. And so you're kind of like, well, I guess I better settle into this and like him back, because I guess this is what... Meanwhile, I didn't sign up for this. Do you know what I mean? And so I realized with going back through therapy that it was like, yo, a lot of the decisions I made just based on the options that were provided to me instead of going out here and seeking what I really want. So it's about identifying, like, what am I into? What do I like? And so I say all that to say, and maybe this hasn't happened to you, but I feel like this happens to a lot of women because I've had conversations with women. But when it comes to sexuality for us, so many of us have been taught to be demure and to not necessarily own our sexuality. We don't really start to really, A, know what we really like, and then B, be truly vocal about what we really like until we're a little bit older, right? Because in your teens and 20s, if you were fucking in your teens, some of you might have waited until college. God bless y'all. So if you're in your late teens, early 20s, that section, that period of time, we really weren't having those like wild years. And maybe wild meant for us a couple of partners, right? But it definitely didn't mean telling a man how I want to be fucked, or, you know, experimenting with different things that might not be considered traditional. And if you were into things that were not necessarily deemed traditional, you weren't necessarily very outspoken about it, right? You had to be kind of a closet freak. And it's not until you get into your 30s, and it's definitely in your 40s, that you start to appreciate that, like, I know what I like. I know how I want to be fucked. I know how I want to feel. And once you can clearly identify that, you can then go out here and be in situations with men where you have control. You have autonomy about, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I, you know, will accept. And here's what I won't accept. Instead of kind of just moving through life where they're just like, here's what I got. And you're kind of like, okay, I'll take it. Which is what I feel like I've been doing for most of my adult life as far as dating and men have been concerned. So now that I'm operating from a place where I have clarity as far as I know what I like, and I know what I want to feel like in a relationship, and I know the kind of man that I want to look at when I wake up in the morning, or when I go out on a date, or when we go on our vacation together. Like, I know how I want to be treated. I know how I want to be handled. I know the kind of emotional stability and support I want to receive. I can visualize those things. I can describe those things. I can almost feel them, even though they're not present. So when I go out here and I'm walking around and I see men, I can tell you just by looking at them, they're not it. And I know someone's going to hear this and be like, oh girl, you're closed-minded, or oh no, you got to get... I did that already. I did the giving the men that I wasn't really attracted to a chance. I did that. Dating the men who didn't have goals, who did maybe were a little bit less financially stable than myself. I did that already. I don't want to have to come into a situation where I'm compromising and I'm bringing more to the hypothetical table than that guy. It's not fun. It's not fun when the table is at my house and it's all my groceries on the table and all my utensils on the table and all my, and the nigga just got to show up. Those types of relationships are not fun for me. And so I, now that I understand that, now that I've experienced that enough that I know that I don't ever want to go back to that, thanks to therapy, I can move from a place where I'm like, look, I'd rather eat alone. You understand what I'm saying? I'd rather not eat. We don't even have to haggle. Oh, you know, and it's, you know, and listen, there's a lot of propaganda out there, especially for Black women, that will tell us that we have to be open to lowering our standards, for lack of a better word. in order to maybe find a mate. But what I'm sharing with you guys and what I'm learning for myself is that maybe I won't have a mate. And I can be okay with that because I'd rather not have a mate than be having to provide the whole fucking table, chairs, utensils, food, shelter, and everything else. And all a nigga got to do is show up. Because pretty much essentially you're going to still feel like you're doing it by yourself, then you might as well be by yourself. You understand? So same goes for sexually. If you're in a situation where your man is, he's the nicest guy in the world. He treats you so great. But when he gets in that bed, something's missing. Well, maybe sex is not all for you. You know, maybe you can live with that situation. But I know for me, I don't want to live like that. I want to have a great sex life. I want to have a robust sex life where I'm enjoying my partner. My partner's enjoying me. We don't have, you know, we don't necessarily have a lot of boundaries, and we're free to explore one another. Like, I want to go into a situation like that. I also want to go into a situation like that with someone that I know I can trust, and that's not necessarily going to be bringing me diseases and outside children. And, you know, these things may sound like I am hard to please. Some guys out here probably might hear this podcast and be like, damn, this bitch got a lot of high standards. Yeah, you could say that, but I don't really think I do. So I feel like I can comfortably state that these are the things that I need. And I don't have to feel bad about it anymore. I don't have to be like, damn, you know, he's cute, but he don't got no job. Well, maybe I should date him anyway and help him find a job. And no, we're not doing all that. We'd be like, hey, look, call me in 3 months when you find a job. Standard raised. Now, getting back to sexually, the man's not doing what he needs to do. I'm not faking it till I make it. I'm not going to pat him on the back and say, don't worry about it. Maybe, you know, maybe next time you'll do better. And I'm definitely not going to put on a Meryl Streep performance and pretend like he's knocking cobwebs off my shit if he's not knocking the cobwebs off my shit. I will try to find a nice way to let him know that he needs a little bit of help in that department, but I would definitely not pretend that he's doing something he's not doing. And with the Tracy's dog thing, right? See how I bring it all the way back? With that device, I'm able to achieve orgasms that I wasn't even having when I was having sex with men. So if I'm able to have orgasms, amazing orgasms that I wasn't even experiencing when I was dealing with men who were giving me headaches and breaking my heart and stressing me out and leaving me confused. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying, hear me out, I'm not saying to not deal with men. And I'm not saying that I'm not going to deal with men. I'm just saying that Tracy's dog can offer me the autonomy. Yeah, you see where I'm going? And offer me the security that I need to hold out a little bit longer, even in the dark times, even in the cold times, even in the lonely times. You understand what I'm saying? That I don't have to be out here texting that nigga I know I ain't got no business texting because I haven't had dick in a year. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I had already not had sex in over a year, and now I got Tracy's dog. I can already see me going well into the summer without even having a need to be jumping on nobody's, you know, no broke dick, no half-ass dick, no emotionally unavailable dick. Like, I'm not, what? What? Like, now I could look at niggas and be like, can you make me stop fucking with Tracy's doll? Can you do that? Because if you can't do that, shut up. Word up. Don't even talk to me. Shut up. That kind of strength, that kind of attitude, that type of confidence, that type of like self-assurance is what so many of us need in order to raise the quality of the type of men that we deal with. And I know I for one, definitely, I said this on Pray Thought podcast, and I remember so many chicks were hitting me up like, that was a word, but I still believe that, you know what I'm saying? Good dick is great. Good dick is fun. But when you really think about it, in reality, good dick is not always good to you. The niggas with good dick really ain't about shit. And I saw a meme the other day that was like, the greater his dick, the more ain't shit he is, or the ain't shittier he is. And I was like, word, that shit is true. Like, I know so many dudes that I'd be like, yo, that nigga fucked the shit out of you, but will he come and fucking change your tire at 3 o'clock in the morning? I don't think so. Is he gonna come run to the hospital if you have an emergency? I don't think so. Would he lend you $300 if you needed it? I don't think so. And you know what I mean? If you had an emotional breakdown and you need somebody to just be a shoulder to cry on, is that nigga? Probably not. And I'm sure all of you who are listening to this, you can close your eyes and imagine, like, you know a nigga like that. You know a nigga that is like, you're really, he's all he has is dick. And when you think about the niggas that all they got is dick, all they can offer you is dick, that's because they have nothing else going on for them. And they don't have anything else going on for them because no one ever required anything else from them once they realized that the dick was what the dick was. Do y'all feel me? Okay. Y'all feel me? It's not necessarily their fault. But I know that I don't want to get stuck with the nigga that what's he gonna do? He gonna fuck my tire back together? This is, you know, I'm gonna ride his dick to the hospital in an emergency. Am I gonna have him go out here and turn tricks and bring me back $300? You understand what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. So, you know, if you haven't ordered Tracy's Dog, like I said, it's not a replacement for a man. There are some good men out here. Let me make sure that I drive that point home, because I am not a man hater. I am not a male basher. I am not a angry feminist, but I am a realist, as I said earlier. And the truth of the matter is, some of these guys out here leave a lot to be desired. Now, maybe they have great jobs, but they're not that physically attractive. Or maybe they're physically attractive, but they are dumb, or they're broke, or they have five baby mamas, or they don't have any credit, or they don't have any money, and they, you know, they always hitting you up for shit. And, you know, if you can deal with that, if you're a woman who's making six figures and you got your own shit, and, you know, yeah, maybe you can afford to deal with the nigga that just came home from jail and the nigga that has no job, because really and truly, you got your own. So you could just take it, literally, take your pick of the litter. Literally, the litter, the trash. Me, I want the same energy that I put out. So that's why I can't help a nigga learn how to read. Not anymore. I'm not helping you build your credit. Not anymore. No, you cannot borrow my car. No, I will not help you with your resume. I'm sorry. No, you can't just hit me up once in a blue moon and think you can come into my crib at 3 o'clock in the morning and fuck, and then hit me up in another 3 months. Like, no, I did that already. I'm not doing that anymore. What else you got? And now that I'm happily in a stable, sexual, gratified situation with my Tracy's Dog, they need to really give me a check. But anyway, now that I'm in that kind of situation, oh yeah, like, you really got to be coming at me with something that I want to be bothered with in order for me to even really be looking to tolerate you. That's really honest, my honest attitude. Well, we're almost at the 40-minute mark here. Me talking to myself. Can you imagine? I thought it was going to be difficult. But, yeah, I am going to wrap it up. I hope I have shared some gems and some bits of wisdom with you all. Ladies especially. I don't know, something about, this is a period of my life where I'm really, really into tapping into feminine energy and recognizing feminine energy. And it's something I always say to people, that like every milestone in my life, whether it was something traumatic or something wonderful or something where I needed help or, you know, something where I needed someone to just advocate for me, it has always been women, especially Black women, but women in general, who have been there and who have gave me an encouraging word or wiped my tears or patted me on the back or told me that, you know, I was doing good, or, you know, that they were proud of me in some way. Those type of wonderful, life-giving, life-breathing actions that help you to go on, I get from women probably 99 times out of 100. 98 times out of 100. And I'm reaching a point in my life now where I'm truly at a place where I'm like, I think I could live the rest of my life and never have to encounter another man and I'd be okay. Because my network of women is strong. I know a lot of dope women. I have, whether I know them in real life or I know them in social media land. But I know that I could get by with just the help of the women around me who we share a common kind of intuition, you know, vibe, whatever you want to call it. And I respect that so much that it's truly one of the things that I'm grateful for, because it's really kept me going in the last year and a half. I have had some relationships that I've had with women, female friends, and of the that have kind of dissipated. And the one thing I can say about the last few months of my life, especially when I was really severely depressed, I don't know if a lot of people really even realize how depressed I was, because I haven't really gone into depth about it, but I fell away. I kind of disappeared. And if you've ever read the Four Agreements, you know that like nothing anyone does is ever about you, right? It's always about the other person. What people say to you, what they do, how they act, it's never, ever, ever about you. And so that's one of the key agreements, is to never take things personally. And when I went through, I'm talking about like when I was really, really deeply depressed, when I went through it and I had to shut down and shut off, really, I was like, I really went black. Like I said in the last podcast, but I got to a place where I was like, I can't even respond to phone calls. I can't respond to messages. I can't put on that fake happy voice. I can't leave my house. I can't go to parties and pretend to be having a good time when I know how broken I felt, right? And everybody is cool. You know, I'm cool with everybody, but I can't necessarily share how deep whatever it was I was going through was with everybody. And so what I did was I just shut down, and then it became kind of like a case by case basis of who can I trust enough to let in? Who can I trust enough to alert them to the fact that I'm going through something, and I could either let them in enough to help me or tell them, hey, I'll get back to you when I can. Like, I was so out of it that I couldn't even be like, hey. And how do you text somebody back and be like, hey, I'm going through something right now, but I'll call you in 3 months? Like, I didn't know how long I was going to be going through what I was going through. And I didn't want to do that kind of fake, well, what I interpreted as that fake kind of, oh, I'm going through something. And then you have other people like, oh my God, what's wrong? And now they're trying to help me, but I don't really want help because I want to get through this on my own. And I don't want to really share it with people because it's not for everybody. And so anyway, my point is that a lot of people got shut out. And once, when I started therapy, I had this initial guilt of like, oh my God, I flaked on a lot of people people would text me randomly or sporadically to just be like, hey girl, I haven't seen you on social media, or hey, you know, I haven't seen you out and about. And some days I could respond if I had any energy, and some days I just said, I can't deal with them right now. Where they'd be like, we're cool, I'm cool with you, but we're not close enough that I'm going to be like, hey, so here's what happened to me. And I carried guilt from that because I was like, damn, I know they're probably looking at me like, damn, that's fucked up. You know, who the fuck she thinks she is? She don't even respond to my text messages, blah, 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 blah. And my therapist had to help me to realize that, like, you are going through a serious emotional life crisis right now. Don't worry about anybody else but yourself, right? And if anything, the key takeaways from coming out of that darkness will be who's still around when the smoke clears. So there were people that I didn't communicate with for months that would literally just text me consistently, but not every day. But you know what I mean? Like every, once a month, maybe on a holiday or whatever. And sometimes I would respond and sometimes I wouldn't. But anyway, they didn't take it personally. And I appreciate those people that they understood that, okay, I could sense your energy is off. I could see that you're not really out or around. And you needed your space. And I respect that. And now that you're coming out of it, or now that I see you, it's like we never left, right? And then you have people that so... And I hold nothing against them. Don't get me wrong. But then you have a set of people that were so wrapped up in like internalizing whatever they thought my absence actually meant, that they probably said to themselves, well, I texted her twice and she never texted me back. So fuck her. I don't fuck with her. You know what I mean? And now that I'm coming out of that darkness, out of that cloudy period of my life, I have to grapple with the fact of being like, don't take it personally, even though they took it personally. You know what I mean? How will I deal with them when I run into them? How would I deal with them when, or if, you know, they do text me again? I've had people that I feel like have acted funny style towards me, but I understand that they're acting funny towards me now because they interpreted my absence as something that it wasn't. And maybe we'll be able to sit down and chop it up, and I'll be able to kind of convey to them that like what I went through was that the kind of trauma that changes you. I will never be 100% the type of person that I was before I fell into that. And I've suffered from depression my whole life. So that's one thing I can say. I deal with it on a constant basis. And that's why I always tell people, like, I don't talk about depression like it's an outfit that I put on and took off. It's a jacket. Sometimes I have to wear it a little bit longer than you may want to wear it. And sometimes I want to take it off and I can't get it off. And it's, to me, it's not that I can come out on social media or wherever and announce like, I had depression once and now my life has changed and I feel better. And that's what I thought therapy was going to do for me. I thought therapy was going to help me get to the place where I could come out and make an announcement and be like, yeah, I was depressed for 6 months, but now my life is happy and I'm here I am and everything's changed. And it's a slower process than even that. And that's why I got frustrated. And that's why I was ready to give up and quit. Because I was like, where's my transition? Where's my before and after results? When can I come out and be like, look at me, I'm better. But it's not necessarily when you really deal with what depression really is. And it's not necessarily something that you conquer. It's something that you learn how to cope with. It's something that you learn how to deal with. And it's not a one-time deal. It's an ongoing deal. You know, if you really, and everybody's situation is different. You know, there's sadness, there's, you know, extenuating circumstances that are beyond what's going on inside of you. Sometimes that can cause you to get sad and cause you to get depressed. And then sometimes it's everything in your life seems perfect, and yet you still feel empty inside. And you see this so many times with rich and famous people who commit suicide, where you look at their lives from the outside and you think, oh my God, they have this, they have that. Why would they want to kill themselves? Because it's not about the outside accomplishments and all of the trophies and accessories that you can get from success. It's an internal thing, you know? And I had a mixture of inside forces and outside forces that caused me to kind of spiral out. And I'm happy to say 6 months later that some of those really big and heavy outside sources have dissipated. They've been removed, or they've been conquered, right? Those outside things that were keeping me sad and were keeping me depressed, I've been able to change my approach to some of those things. Some of those problems I was actually able to solve. Some of those monsters I've actually killed and gotten, you know, put them in the past. That still doesn't mean that now my life is all happy and everything's roses and Candyland. It's not that. Because for me, like I said, it's internal and external factors. And there's still internal work that I have to do. And there are still ways that I have to deal with what I'm going through from the inside, so that I can change some of the outside stuff. It's all connected. But yeah, I think an hour of me talking alone and rambling on, 52 minutes and some seconds, is enough for an initial first, well, really second, but for a show that I feel like I can put out and let you guys listen to, and, you know, you girls can give me feedback on. And if you haven't, again, like I said, I'm not getting paid for it, but if you haven't and you're interested in the Tracy's dog, go to tracysdog.com, or you can order it on Amazon. And I'm not going to talk about it again after this because I'm not getting paid, and they should seriously fucking be cutting me a check at this point, because I literally have been telling every woman that I've run into, like, you need to try this. So that's my share. And I'm going to wrap it up and talk to you guys the next time. Okay? Peace.